So our scripture lesson today is from Mark. It's chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as they were leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And the throwing of his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go away, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So I called this scripture, Man with a Plan. So let me give you a little explanation. Jericho is about 15 miles south of Jerusalem. And if you remember, I've talked about this before, but if you were a male over 12 and you lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem, it was expected that you would walk the Passover, that you would walk that 15 miles or less and go to Passover. And so this is kind of the main road from people living to the south going into Jerusalem. And what people would do, so if you can pretend this is the road, people would line up on both sides of the road and wait for the pilgrims to go into town. And one of the things that would happen there is that prophets and rabbis would teach along the way. Now they wouldn't stop and say, "Here, let's gather a crowd and I'll explain it to you." They would just walk along slowly and they would be teaching to the crowd as they were doing it. So kind of visualize this group of people coming up and, you know, prophet or rabbi, whatever, would come through. And so when Jesus is coming through, there's people around him because they knew who he was. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Well, what happened with Bartimaeus is he also knew Jesus was coming. And when he heard all the commotion, he knew it had to be Jesus. And so he yells out for him. Well, the people around him say, "Bartimaeus, you've been blind your whole life. And we want you to be quiet because we're trying to hear Jesus." And Bartimaeus is saying, "Well, I'm not having any of that. This might be my only chance, because I know that he can cure me." And so he yells out. He does that several times because he wants Jesus to know he's there. And so if you guys are all the crowd, you're saying, "Hey, keep it down. Be quiet. Because we want to hear Jesus talk. We don't want to hear about you." Well, I put in here, it was all about them. They didn't care about his suffering, his inability to see. They cared about what they wanted, which was to hear the rabbi, to hear Jesus speak. So they were being selfish. They didn't want to give Bartimaeus the chance to come in and talk. So what did we learn about Bartimaeus in this? There was nothing that that crowd could do that was going to keep him from getting to Jesus. And so he not only thought he needed to do it, he was desperate to see. Now, for each of us, are we that desperate to run to Jesus as well? Or are we willing to stand on the side and let him walk by and not pay any attention? So I don't remember if I told you this joke before, but the upside of getting older and forgetting things is there's always a chance that even if I've told it, you guys don't remember that I've told it too. Okay? So it's a joke, but it tells you something. There's a flood. Have you heard this story? There's a flood, and the guy should leave his house, and the police come and say, "Hey, you should leave your house. It's going to flood." And the guy says, "No, Jesus will take care of me." And then the water keeps going up, and a guy comes by in a rowboat and says, "Hey, this is getting really bad. How about you jump in the rowboat and I'll take you away." Now he's up on the top of his house. And the National Guard comes by with a helicopter and says, "Hey, this is really bad. You need to get out of here." He goes, "Nope, I've got faith. Jesus will take care of me." He drowns. He's in heaven. And he's standing there and goes, I just don't understand how this happened. And Peter says, well, why? He said, I just knew Jesus would save me. And he says, I sent a policeman, a rowboat, and a helicopter. What else did you want me to do? Because sometimes it's us that's supposed to be around that person. Or do we recognize that help that Jesus is trying to give us? Well, Bartimaeus did. And he was not going to be denied. And so he rushes in. He's screaming and yelling because he wants to meet with Jesus. Now, a lot of times in our lives, we have the chance to do that. And we choose not to. Because I'm busy. I have a... wash my car, I have to play golf. You can think up 9 zillion excuses, but we choose not to take advantage of those opportunities that we have. But Bartimaeus didn't. And he didn't know, just like us, if we were going to have another opportunity, but he knew that that was his opportunity. So he knew exactly what he wanted, and he was in exactly the right place to get it done that day. He didn't say, oh, I kind of believe in Jesus, and he might be able to help me. He knew that Jesus could help him, and he knew that Jesus could restore his sight. He really was sure of those things. Now, what I put in here was, for us to be sure, requires us to do kind of a self-examination of our own selves. And part of that is, where am I at in my life? So is everything just okay and everything's gone all right? And so I don't really need to get closer to Jesus because everything's okay. Nothing's wrong. Maybe things could be a little better, but you know, basically everything's all right. And sometimes that's where we're at in life. The question is that where you want to be? Or do you want to have a closer relationship with the Lord? Because it requires some work on our part. Just like when the policeman in the boat and the helicopter came, you have to be willing to accept it when it happens. Or are we going to find some excuse not to do that? Now, we also learn here that Bartimaeus probably really didn't understand who Jesus was. Because what he's talking about when he says son of David, that was what the people thought this Messiah that was coming to the Jewish community was going to be like, because he was going to be this king, he was going to be this warrior that was going to take care of everything. That's not really who Jesus was, but that was his perception of what Jesus was going to become as the Messiah. Well, what we can learn in this is you don't have to have a perfect understanding of faith to be accepted by the Lord. Because he didn't say, Bartimaeus, you know what? You're so wrong about me. You clearly don't have any understanding of who I am and what I stand for. I'm just not going to help you. Get out of here. Because he didn't say that. He said your faith is going to heal you. And so even though his faith wasn't probably a correct understanding of who Jesus was and what he was going to do, it didn't matter. What we can learn from that is we don't all have to be perfect in our faith. So the other day, I was playing golf. I know you guys find this hard to believe. I was playing golf. I know my wife is surprised when she hears me say that too. I was playing golf and I was playing with a friend and we ended up talking about a Baptist belief. And it was about baptisms. And so if you're a Baptist, at least in this Baptist church, he was talking about, if you're not fully immersed, you're not really baptized. And you can go through the Bible and you can pick out parts that would say that. It's not in the Methodist church. You can be fully immersed. You can be sprinkled. You have choices. And for a Methodist, all those are okay. But if you're a Baptist, if you're not immersed, it's got to be wrong. I don't know if that's right or not. You can go through the Bible. You can pick and choose and make that seem like, oh yeah, I guess that's what we're supposed to do. I think this falls into that category. If your intent is to do the right thing, God understands we're not perfect, and he'll make it work in our lives. And that's what I told the guy. I said, I don't know. Maybe the Baptist church is right. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's some of all. But we don't have to have perfect faith to become part of God's family. Maybe that's the most important thing in the scripture. You don't have to be perfect. How many of you are perfect? Did you like totally raise your hand or barely raise it? She barely raised it. I think that means she's almost perfect. Almost perfect. But I didn't see any hands go up, so I'm guessing nobody's exactly perfect. And what we're saying religiously is you don't have to be perfect, because we're not. We make mistakes. I haven't really dealt with very many people today, so right now I think I'm perfect and not making mistakes. But I've talked to a lot of you today, so one of you might say, oh no, because, you know, whatever. And so sometimes mistakes aren't what we think, it's what people around us think. And so what do we, in this ending here, then what we kind of learn three things. Jesus reaches out and cures him. And so he had a need. Well, anybody in here doesn't have a need to feel comforted at some time in your life, or feel God's touch, or know that you're loved? Okay, I think we got the perfect people, and those numbers are the same. And so we need that joy. Now, so I'm going to invite you back tonight, because tonight we're talking about love, and this falls into the same category. We all need to feel that love. There's an article in the paper today, so in case you guys haven't figured it out, I read the paper every morning before I come to church. There's an article in the paper today that the guy's talking about how mad people are all the time at each other, and how the littlest thing makes somebody mad. And he said, I was trying to tell myself how great a guy I was, and he said, the other day, I let somebody come in front of me in a road construction area, and then the guy behind cut in front of me. And you know what? He didn't even like acknowledge that I let him in. And I was mad at him for doing that. I let you in. You should say thank you. Even if it's, you know, we have that car wave. Oh, yeah, everything's cool. He said he didn't even do that. And he said, it's not so much that it made me mad then. It's that I let that mad stay in me for a long time. And I don't let it go. So we all have that need to let that go. And God's love can do that. And he was grateful. Because we've read other stories in the Bible. When Jesus heals, he heals the 10 lepers, and they don't follow him. They all go their merry way back to their homes, except one, I think. But in this case, as soon as this Bartimaeus was healed, he became a follower of Jesus right away. He had that gratitude for what he'd done for him. I would bet in this congregation, everyone at some time in their life has felt the touch that we needed at that time for whatever was going on in our lives. And were we grateful? Did we take the time to thank the Lord? And then the last thing that is in this is loyalty. He follows him. Well, I view this loyalty as part of discipleship. So it's twofold. Does anybody here think that Bartimaeus would tell everybody in the whole entire world that he was blind, but now he can see? How many vote he's telling everybody he sees? Has anyone here ever had cataract surgery? Okay. I used to be, I don't know if I've ever told you guys, you know that big E at the top of the eye chart? That great big E at the top of the eye chart, I couldn't read that, okay? I knew it was an E, though, because I had taken the test before, okay? It's a big E at the top, and I couldn't read it. My vision was 20/200, and so I had to have a cataract surgery, and for the first time in my life, I could see things without wearing contacts or glasses. And I am sitting in the chair as you get... Those of you that had that surgery, they don't really make you go to sleep. They just make you not care. And I'm sort of kind of waking up, and I'm looking around. And I'm just looking. And the nurse comes over, and she said, are you okay, Ed? And I said, yep. She goes, what's wrong? I go, nothing. She goes, what you doing? I go, reading the signs. And she says, why? And I said, because I can. It was the first time in my life I could ever read without glasses or contacts. And it was amazing to me. So when I read this story about Bartimaeus and he was blind where he couldn't see anything, I sort of have a feeling for that. Because I could see things like, I never realized that you could see blades of grass standing on a golf course. It just looked like green carpet to me. I didn't realize that trees had leaves that you could see. Because to me it looked like a flat green picture. And you know what? When you don't know what you can't see, you don't know that you can't see stuff. You just think everybody sees it that way. Because you don't know. So do we take that gift that God gives us and do we share it with others? That's the discipleship part of this. Do we take his love and grace that he's given us freely and share it with those that we come in contact with? So in my story today, when the guy cuts in front of him after he let the one guy in and he doesn't wave at him, maybe it was better to say a prayer. I'm sorry you're such a jerk. See, that probably wasn't the right prayer. Yesterday I picked up Sawyer before he came here for Bible school, and so I wasn't exactly sure how long it was going to take me because it's Indianapolis and so you never know. So I left. I got up at 5:30, we got gone, and there's hardly any traffic on the road. And all of a sudden, here comes a guy. He did the left, middle, right, middle, left, middle, right thing. There's like five cars on the road, dude. Can't you just wait a second? But apparently he was in a really big hurry. I don't know where he was trying to get to. Well, actually I do, because he went about 100 yards and then turned off the interstate. So I understand the guy in the newspaper saying, why was that necessary? So my goal now is when I see somebody do something, which I view that as sort of stupid, I'm going to pray for them that they get wherever they're going and they don't hurt anybody. When I left here yesterday and was going back into town, there was an accident right at Main Street just past the railroad crossing. And I don't know who did what, but a big truck hit a little car. So it didn't look like anybody was too hurt except the little car. But as I came by, I told Surya, we need to pray for those people and the EMTs and the firemen and the police and everybody was there because we don't really know what happened, if anyone was hurt or not. So we have different ways that we can share that discipleship to others. Whether it's Bartimaeus telling everybody, I can see and Jesus made that happen. Or if it's one of us saying, Lord, I was so down because X happened and I felt your touch and now I feel better. We have that ability to share those thoughts with people we come in contact with each and every day. And so take that touch and be grateful and share it with those around us.
Father, we're grateful that we can come together this day.
Let us be disciples and take your message out into all the world. Let everyone know how you've touched our lives and how we want to share that special touch with all those that we come in contact with. Amen.